Let us pray. Lord, it is a very busy time we are in. But this morning, Lord, still our minds, still our hearts, so that we can focus upon you. Amen. Please be seated. Today's reading is from Romans. The book of Romans is a letter from the Apostle Paul from the Greek city of Corinth, around 57 AD. It would take several weeks for a letter to get from Corinth to Rome, and I'm not sure a first-class Royal Mark stamp is any quicker. Today, our prophets and apostles and our church leaders communicate not by letter, but by social media, emails, TikTok, etc. All very convenient, easy for most to use, quick and efficient. A letter now arrives in seconds. However, if you're like me, they are easily deleted. As Robert will testify, as I tried to get an email for him, to him this week and failed spectacularly. And WhatsApps now have an annoying disappearing message function. And if you haven't got a good memory, you're lost. A letter, on the other hand, can be kept, can be treasured and reread. It doesn't fly away into technoland or suffer death at a delete button. And there is an art to letter writing. It encourages thought, calmness, essential thinking skills, grammar and spelling. It has unique qualities, handwriting, the use of a specific paper or a favourite pen. And letter writing is becoming a lost art. Sadly, only revived at Christmas when the round robin letter arrives, full of news from friends, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but often full of boasts. As we know, Paul is famous for his for writing letters to churches he had founded or visited, often giving them lengthy written advice and solutions to their problems. And he did boast, but this was usually about Jesus, not himself. His letters often remind me of an Ofsted inspection report. Not too many outstandings. And you probably wouldn't want a round robin in your Christmas card from Paul. However, Paul's letter to the Romans was completely different. He wrote to introduce himself, to clarify the gospel message, and hopefully gain support for his planned mission to the West. He hoped that Rome would be a staging post for his mission to Spain, and he hoped he would find prayer and financial support. But today, it is a letter that encourages us to share the gospel, and it encourages us in our faith. Rome, at the time of Paul's letter, could be described as a popular holiday destination. It was wealthy, had luxury and lively entertainment. A busy city, a million people trading in silks and spices. And in Paul's time, it had impressive buildings, such as the Pantheon, the Forum, and the Circus Maximus. The Colosseum had not yet been built, but occasionally, Christians were martyred in the Circus Maximus. Therefore, the church in Rome met in secret, usually in small groups, in people's homes. And the groups were diverse and inclusive, Greeks, Jews, wealthy, poor, men and women, and slaves. They had probably heard the gospel from passing merchants or from Peter. So Paul sent his letter to Rome with Phoebe, a trusted Christian woman from Corinth, a benefactor to Paul, who used her own wealth and resources to travel. In those days, a person taking a letter was tasked with the reading and explaining the correspondence on behalf of the sender. So Phoebe would visit all the small groups to discuss and explain the letter. And we are encouraged to be like Phoebe today, to explain what Paul was passionate about. And he was indeed passionate about the gospel. As we heard, he was not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. He knew what it was like to encounter Jesus, and he wanted the Christians in Rome to share the good news of how they met Christ with others. Paul said he was set apart to preach the gospel. He states in Corinthians 9, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." He wanted this passion shared. So we are all Christians because somebody explained the gospel to us. Many of us went on Alpha courses or were taken to church or to Christian festivals. And are we today compelled to share the gospel with others? Are we still passionate about how we met Jesus? We do not live in a persecuted land. Our meetings are open, advertised, and the good news is also shared by social media. And our small groups do not meet underground, and our Bibles are not hidden. So Paul's letter encourages us to share the good news and not to be ashamed to do so. There is no better time than Christmas to do this, to explain the birth of our Saviour and give the real reason for the Christmas season. And let us protest to our friends the alternative use of words such as winter holidays, Winterville or Yule time. It is Christmas because Christ is in it. Ollerton, a modern Christian writer, author writes, "I just wonder whether our political and timid form of Christianity betrays an inner loss of confidence. Have we lost our confidence?" Paul, in this letter, reminds us of what we should be confident about. It is Jesus, the power of the gospel. And Paul uses the word gospel extensively in his letters. In Greek, the gospel means the announcement of good news. The Romans would have known Emperor Augustus as the gospel, as he was the one who brought victory and established peace in the area. So Paul was writing to the Romans and reminding them of the greater victory that Jesus had. The ultimate triumph, the only true gospel, is Jesus. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, rose from the dead, defeated sin, evil, and death. And it's only in Jesus that we have new life and eternal hope. There is no other man capable of achieving this. Not Augustus or any human king, but Jesus. So Jesus is our confidence. And our confidence is amplified and enlarged because we all know that by living for Jesus and in Jesus, we are being changed daily. We are becoming righteous and growing stronger in faith. So the gospel continues to challenge and change us. It is powerful, enabling us to become more Christ-like, more holy, and strengthening our relationship with Jesus. The Romans lived in a society where slavery was accepted, and Paul was aware of this. So he writes that I am also a slave to Christ. This statement would get the attention of the Romans, but Paul's entire life and purpose was determined by Jesus. Unlike the Roman slaves, he did not have to pay or work hard for his freedom. Jesus had done that for him and us by dying on the cross. Jesus is the master who brings perfect freedom. You are free when you die to yourself and live totally for Christ. Paul, in his letter, explains how we are to have a right relationship with Jesus. God makes us right in his sight through faith, not by our human effort, not by all our good works, not by keeping laws, but solely through faith in Jesus. And it is through faith that a righteous person has life. The life of faith is a spiritual one. We live a life of holiness and peace through trusting in God, through praying and listening to him. And it is from faith that we all grow the fruits of the Spirit and we all live a good and righteous life. And no better example of a righteous man is the reading today of Joseph and his journey of faith. He demonstrated his obedience and faith in many ways. Firstly, he was going to obey the law by divorcing Mary, and this we all know could result in stoning and rejection by society. The child clearly wasn't his, and he was confused and bewildered by the events and what Mary had told him. But Joseph had a good balance of holiness, godly standards, love and sensitivity. He planned to send her away quietly and not publicly disgrace her. However, once the angel visited him in a dream, he trusted God and did what the Lord commanded. He did not argue. He took Mary as his wife, despite facing social scorn. Joseph was not ashamed. He was not fearful. He trusted and obeyed God completely. He had confidence. And we all know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So today we give thanks that Paul was a good letter writer, and that we still have his letters today that we can read and reread. The letters have stood the test of time and will continue to encourage Christians to share the gospel and to give an account of their faith with boldness and with confidence. And may it inspire us to write letters to our family and friends to explain the gospel or issue an invitation to the Alpha course in the new year. And I'm sure the invitation via social media will also be acceptable if you can manage to do it. The birth of Jesus is now imminent, with only a few days left. So let us all go out now joyfully to announce the coming of the King, our Saviour of the world. Merry Christmas to you all. Amen.